It can be easy to notice flaws in other people, to notice the mistakes they make, the wrong steps that they take, while not even paying attention to our own faults. For many of us, this happens when we're driving. We're quick to notice the flaws of other drivers on the road. We're quick to criticize someone who's driving too slow, too fast, if they change lanes without signaling, if they cut us off, when they speed through a yellow light, or when they roll through a stop sign. We notice it, we point it out, we get annoyed at them for it. Sometimes we even yell at them from the insides of our car, making remarks like, "Well, you've got to be kidding me. Are you crazy? What on earth are you doing?" For all of us who drive regularly, we have all experienced those feelings at one time or another, maybe even on the ride to church today. And yet, what's funny about this is that you and I have made all of the mistakes that we see other people making. We've stopped short when we're not supposed to. We've rolled through stop signs. We've accidentally cut people off. We've driven too slow, and at other times, we've driven far too fast. All of the bad driving that we criticize in others has, at one time or another, been true of the way that we handle ourselves on the road. What's even funnier is that when you and I make mistakes like these on the road, sometimes we'll notice people getting upset at us for our silly mistakes, and then we get upset that they're upset at us. And we can't believe that they would get upset at such a common mistake, at such a simple mistake of ours that we happen to make on the road. The same things that we groan about others doing, the same things that we get upset about, that we make out to be a big deal, these are the same things that we do, and these are the same things we cannot believe that someone would be upset at us for. We're quick to notice the big mistakes of other drivers while hardly noticing the same mistakes that we make. And in our passage today, Jesus is bringing us to a similar situation as he's explaining how we're to go about judging one another. He gives us a parable about those who are quick to criticize the mistakes of others while missing the major mistakes that are present in their own lives, many of which are more consequential than the small mistakes that are pointed out in others. Verses 37 through 38 say the following: "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." People will come to these two verses in particular, and they will quote it when they do not want to be judged for their sin. Perhaps you've experienced this, or maybe you've even used the verses in this way. When someone is lovingly confronted by a brother or sister in Christ about sin, they instantly retort, "You can't judge me." Jesus says that we can't judge. He says we're not supposed to judge. And then they will quote this verse to you, showing you where it says to judge not, and you will not be judged. And then we read it, and maybe we're caught off guard. We had kind of forgotten that that passage was in there. We don't know how to respond. We start to double-guess ourselves, thinking, "Well, perhaps I'm not supposed to point out the sin in their life. Maybe I did something wrong." What does Jesus mean when he gives these instructions to his disciples? I think we can confidently say that Jesus is not commanding us to not judge whatsoever. There's evidence of this in the passage itself. It says, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And in verse 42, it says, "You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." Both of those sentences imply that we will partake in rendering a judgment, that when we judge, we are to do it in a specific way or in a specific manner. And that makes sense. We all know from our Christian experience that there are times when we have to make judgments. When we see sin clearly, we're obligated to call sin, sin. We are obligated to not be silent about evil and injustice. We're called to say something about what is occurring. As believers, we know intuitively that we have to render judgments when the time comes. So then, if we know that we have to render judgments as believers, what does Jesus mean here? If Jesus is not saying to never judge, then he must be telling us about how to judge, how we are to handle ourselves and our demeanor. There's a distinction that Jesus is drawing between someone who judges and someone who is judgmental. A judgmental person is someone who draws conclusions too quickly, someone who assumes they know the motives of the people they are judging, someone who is quick to declare who is in the right and who is in the wrong without knowing all of the details, someone who is quick to be self-righteous or indignant. This is what our Savior is talking about when he directs his disciples not to judge. He is reminding them that how they judge is just as important as their judgments. And the same goes for us today, too. We struggle with this in the church. We are so quick to be judgmental when it comes to the sins of others. We are quick to label someone a sinner who is too far gone. And sometimes we'll even call people names, or we'll make up labels for them, or we'll categorize them by their sin. We will chastise, we will unceasingly bring up their sin and condemn them for what they're doing, propping up ourselves in self-righteousness. And whether you've partaken in these practices or you've been on the receiving end of them, I think we all know what it means to interact with someone who is judgmental. As someone who's self-righteous, it's disheartening. It's hurtful. When we as believers judge each other out of self-righteousness, we are accomplishing exactly the opposite of what our Savior has called us to. This is the type of behavior that our Savior is calling out in his people. He's calling them to a different way of interacting with others. Now, to be sure, Jesus is not saying that we cannot call out sin, but the way that we do it is important. When we judge, we need to judge with a spirit filled with forgiveness and grace. We should not be judging self-righteously or pompously, but as readily as we pronounce someone's actions to be evil, we should be pronouncing our readiness to forgive and offer them the good news of the gospel. Oftentimes, we're tempted to judge like the Pharisees, judging others because it makes us look good or even because it makes us feel good. For disciples of Jesus, our Savior pronounces a different way. He tells us to render judgments with grace. We must judge with a spirit of forgiveness. Because, brothers and sisters, this is how our Savior forgives us. Does our Savior not pronounce us to be sinners and then quickly offer his hand of grace and forgiveness to us? Better yet, does our Savior not pronounce the verdict of our sin and then rush to die for us while we were still sinners? We must not forget the manner in which we ourselves were saved. Our Savior died for those whom he knew hated him and had sinned against him. He died willingly, lovingly, and graciously in order to bring us salvation, in order to set us free from the sin which so easily entangles us. How much more so then, brothers and sisters, should we approach others with a heart of forgiveness and grace when we judge? Jesus is not saying that we should shy away from the truth or to call out sin. We are to pronounce that people are sinners. And yet Jesus is calling us to remember that we ourselves, those who are calling out sinners for their rebellion, that we are sinners who have been saved by amazing grace, that we ourselves have been shown true forgiveness, true grace and forgiveness that we must then show to others. For with the measure that we use in our judgments, that measure will be used in our judgment. That's the warning that Jesus gives to those who judge self-righteously or with judgmental spirits. He reminds them that the manner in which they judge will be the manner that they are judged as well. And for the Christian, there's no higher motivation to judge with grace and with love. For we know that on that final day, for all of those who are united to Jesus Christ, that we will receive a verdict of getting to spend eternity in paradise with our Savior. Our God is going to give all of his children rich blessings to the fullest, eternal blessings that overflow our cups. If this is the judgment and the verdict that we who are in Christ will receive on that final day, then how much more ought we to judge others in a way that expresses our desire that they experience the riches of God's grace and forgiveness? That's ultimately what our Savior is driving at in this passage. That's why in verses 39 through 40, Jesus asks, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both not fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." Jesus is reminding his disciples that they have to be careful who they follow, about who they listen to. For who their teacher is will most likely be what they emulate. This is something that we have direct experience with in our lives as well. We become like our teachers. Whether we are taught how to play a sport by a coach, taught in a classroom by a teacher, or taught how to do our jobs by a supervisor, whoever is teaching us is going to be who we become like. That is who we are going to act like. So it's important who we follow. And in this instance, Jesus is reminding the disciples and us about who we are supposed to follow in the way that we make judgments. If we follow people who have judgmental and self-righteous spirits, then we will judge others with a heart of condemnation and self-righteousness. Jesus is reminding his disciples that he is ultimately the one whom they must follow. When giving judgments, what should be at the forefront of our minds is not how others will view us or how we will sound to those we might want to impress. What should be at the forefront of our minds is the goal of following the example of Christ in our judgments. We must ask ourselves, do we have compassion like our Savior does? Do we offer grace and mercy as the solution to sin and evil like our Savior does? Do we bid sinners to come and rest in Christ for their salvation, just as Jesus does? Or are we inclined to act Pharisaical, judging others and condemning them without even mentioning grace and mercy? Do we come up with our own laws of righteousness and holiness and then try to force them on people? Jesus is reminding us that when we give our judgments, that we have a high calling as believers. We are called to follow the example of our teacher. We are called to follow the example Christ and proclaim a message of repentance, clearly and boldly telling people they are sinners, and yet doing so with the remembrance that we ourselves are the worst of sinners who had to be saved by grace ourselves. To make it clear that the goal of our judgment is not to make ourselves look good, not to pump ourselves up or to pump our egos up, but the goal of our judgments is to drive fallen sinners into the arms of Christ. Jesus intentionally then concludes his teaching on this topic with the following parable. "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." We realize how ludicrous it is to try and remove a speck out of someone's eye before removing a large beam out of our eye. This example that Jesus gives is intentionally crazy. Jesus is showing us how crazy it is to judge hypocritically. And yet that's exactly what we do when we do not emulate our Savior when we render our judgments to our neighbors. The reason why we tend to have judgmental spirits and the reason that we come across self-righteously to people is because we are judging out of a spirit that ignores or downplays our own sin. In the back of our minds, we know that we have sin issues, that we have sin habits that we indulge in every so often, and yet it makes us feel really good to point out the sins in others and to try and remove those, deciding not to notice the large amount of sin in our own lives. What Jesus is calling for in this passage is for us to first acknowledge our brokenness and our neediness, to acknowledge our need for him. He's calling us to remember that without his grace and his mercy, we would be completely condemned under the weight of our own sin. But because of what Jesus Christ has done, rescuing us from our sins and raising us to the newness of life, we have been given grace and mercy, so that now when we judge, when we point out sin, we do so in such a way as to point out sin and hand others the good news about Jesus Christ. We are not just reporting to sinners the depravity of their state. We are reporting to them their depravity and the way to escape it. We are coupling our calls for repentance with an invitation of grace and mercy, because that's exactly what Jesus did for you and I. He's called us to repent. He has made us aware of our fallen state without his grace, and yet he wasted no time in dying for our sins, in declaring that he alone is the way and the truth and the life, that true salvation, forgiveness, and mercy are found only in him. So then when we judge, when we either judge sinners for running from God, or when we are helping to remove the specks from the eyes of our brothers and sisters who are in Christ, our words and our actions must be filled with grace, with hands outstretched, offering the mercy and the grace that has already been given to us by our Lord and Savior. For those of you who are here this evening and you do not trust in Christ for your salvation, you don't cling to him, the call of our Savior is the same. He calls upon you to recognize your state of brokenness and fallenness due to your sinful nature. He calls you to recognize that you are headed to hell due to your rebellion against a holy God. And yet our Savior also bids you to come and to taste and see that the Lord is good, that his mercy is new every morning, that he lavishes his love and his grace upon needy and broken sinners who come to him in repentance for their evil ways. So, unbeliever, come to the Lord this evening. Repent of your sins and trust in the grace and mercy that only Jesus can provide to you. Brethren, we have been given life-giving instructions from our Savior this evening. And may it be that our words and our actions and our judgments would be sweetened with the grace of the gospel. And may it be that we would always remember the grace and the mercy that we've received from God. May it be that we would seek to honor him and to glorify him in all that we do as we follow his command to share the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. The grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our God stands forever.